This week's mailbag comes to us from Mary Jo. Dear Lisa, I just found you and I am so glad that I did. I just started from the first podcast back in 2014, and now I just listened to one in 2016 about where to donate specific things that in the past you might have trashed. I just had to share with you how I was able to donate an organ, the musical kind. And that was how I started every call when we were trying to find a home for my late grandfather's Baldwin organ. As I would call and the organization would decline the offer, I would ask if they could suggest any other group I could call. After more than 20 calls, I found a home for it. It turns out that in some more impoverished areas, the local YMCA has church services taking place on Sundays. The West End YMCA in Cincinnati needed a piano or organ for this purpose. When I called them, I could honestly feel the joy and gratitude over the phone. Several large burly men showed up at my house, and I could not stop thanking them. Thank you, Lisa.
Do you have an Organized 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organized365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organized 365.
Welcome to the Organized 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Knowing the history of home economics is interesting. Like, it's just interesting, fascinating. Okay, so I'm better informed now. Now what, Lisa? Like, how does this truly help me? Well, I think the work that we have been doing inside of the Productive Home Solution and with Planning Days and Organized 365 coming up with the research of what is housework? What are these four kinds of work? And one of those is organizing. Okay, well, what are the four kinds of organizing? Okay, one of those is paper. Okay, how do we organize paper? We have been giving voice to the work that is being done at home and also breaking it down into like little lesson plans so that you could say, okay, great, I am going to do this. So I told you the story of how I got organized in the book Organization is a Learnable Skill in 2012. My story about coming home at the age of 40, starting Organized 365, depressed, overweight, in more debt than we knew what to do with really no job and no job prospects. So I was going to create my own job for myself. But before I did that, I needed to get myself organized. And over the course of that year, 2012, I did get my house organized. And I started Organized 365 as a blog and an in-home professional organization company. And I did get my teaching salary replaced by the end of that year. And I really felt like I was ready to go into the next, you know, decades of my life with a plan. And that is the story of getting yourself organized. Since then, since that time, having had thousands of you do that program with me online, I now have made more observations, which led to the questions I had, which led to the research that I did. And about 5 years into that journey of starting Organized 365, I really wanted to do more. Like, at first, it was fine doing in-home professional organizing and just blogging from home with a couple of contractors that were helping me and a couple of people would help do the in-home professional organizing a couple of days a week. I'd replaced my teaching salary. We had established ourselves as an online brand, but I wanted more. I wanted to be able to really make an impact for more people that could not afford an in-home professional organizer. Like, I could have kept growing Organized 365 the way I was, and I would probably be making the same money that I'm making today and make a lot of impact in the lives in Cincinnati and the people that could afford in-home professional organizers. But I knew that I wanted to be able to democratize the skill of learning organization in a way that people could learn it, like through a free podcast or through courses where they would have the support of step-by-step instructions and certified organizers that would help you in small groups or one-on-one in your area get your papers organized. Like, I had this bigger vision that I wanted to make manifest. And in doing that, I needed more time. Because I was out of time, I could not figure out how do I grow my business and how do I do it? I didn't have any more money to hire people. I'd already hired people basically on credit. I was using my credit card to pay my contractors. There's a way to do that, by the way. Don't recommend it, but also that's how I did it. But I got to the point where I was like, this is going to take too long. Like, I'm going to be 95 by the time I do this. What can I do? What can I do? What can I do? This is about 5-6 years ago. So the kids would have been in high school at this point. I'm driving 25 hours a week, and I cannot find any more time to devote to Organize 365. So I would get up in the morning, I would get ready, I would get the kids off to school, I would get home, I'd be home like around 8 o'clock. I had long since given up like straightening up the house at 8. I was like, okay, I work starting at 8 all the way until I have to start picking up kids, which is like at 2. Then I'm start driving all over the place. So I really only had those 6 work hours. So I would work, you know, after I was done doing dinner into the night. But then that became, I would be working till 10, 11, 12 at night. And then I wasn't going to bed with Greg. He wasn't really happy about that. I wasn't really happy about that. I would try to work on the weekends. I basically was working anytime I wasn't doing any domestic responsibility. And the family was starting to see it as like, oh, mom's always working. But I was seeing it as in, I'm providing all the meals, all the transportation, all the doctor's appointments. Like, I'm doing all the housework, all the jobs, all the roles, all the responsibilities, and I'm working. And I was only working like 40, maybe 45 hours a week, but they were seeing so many of the hours I was working because I was spending so much time during Greg's work hours driving. And so I'm driving Joey to school. I'm in the car all this time. I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking about this. I'm like, this is ridiculous. This is absolutely ridiculous. I am bringing in a good salary. I am a working woman. I need to be able to have work hours. Like, it has to, my work needs to be respected, and I need to be able to move forward in my goals, in my job. I'm working my life around my family, but my family is only seeing my work hours. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, you guys get what I'm saying, right? So I was like, what is one thing that I could give to Greg that would take a lot of time off of my plate, and I don't really care how he does it? So let's go back all the way to 1995. I pronounce you Mr. and Mrs. Greg Woodruff. I was so happy. I wanted to be a homemaker my entire life. The only two chores at home that I did not take completely under my domain while we were raising kids is cutting the grass. I did it once. It did not go well. I don't cut grass. Whenever Greg sees a woman cutting grass, I'm like, no, you don't. It's a figment of your imagination. Women don't know how to cut grass. I'm like, I am not cutting the grass. The other thing I almost never do is take out the trash. You know, like roll it to the end of the driveway. Like, I do that once a year on Greg's birthday. That's it. Like, I don't take out the trash. So those two jobs, I do not do at my house. Every other job you could think of, it's me. In the beginning, like, some of the home maintenance tasks Greg would do, but he's a perfectionist. He waited too long. Then I did them. They're done. It's definitely not perfect. The budgeting, Greg did that for a period of time. He paid all the bills. However, he's a perfectionist. So he'd want to know where 5 cents was. The way I did budgeting, I would routinely lose $300, $700. I'd be like, it seems like we should have more money in here, but we don't. But I always found more money than I lost. And honestly, I just think that's how God was working our finances, because we never made as much money as we needed when those kids were younger. And so I just, you know, kind of let God do his thing. And I made sure we didn't bounce any checks. And, you know, God and I, we had this great little relationship going on. Drove Greg crazy, but also not to the point where he took over the budgeting. So it worked for me. So when I'm driving around 5 years ago, you need to know that I had high school age children and I was doing everything except cutting the grass and taking out the trash. That was what I was doing. Anything you could think of, yes, put my name right next to that. So I decided food. First of all, I was driving 25 hours a week. We both were making a salary, so I did not need to be cooking from scratch anymore, nor was I any good at it. And yes, I did do it for decades, but I was not anymore. And the truth of the matter was, 9 times out of 10, I was running through fast food for breakfast, lunch, and dinner at this point. I was organizing, you know, 45 minutes away from home. I'm running through fast food. I would pack my lunch, peanut butter and jelly sometimes. I would usually pack my drinks. That would save you some money. But yeah, I like a hot sandwich. I like cheeseburger. I like onion rings. Didn't have onion rings at that time, but you get the idea. So I was thinking to myself in all this car time, I thought, you know what? Let's just call a spade a spade. At least you're not cooking anymore. You haven't really cooked for 18 months. You're not cooking. There's just this pretend that maybe you're going to cook this week. You're going to the grocery store. You're buying groceries. You're throwing them away. People are eating some of them. The kids are eating out. Like, everybody's eating out. Greg's eating out. Everybody's eating out. Why are you even pretending with the grocery store thing anymore? So I said to Greg that weekend, I said, I don't cook anymore. And he's like, what do you mean? I said, yeah, I'm not going to cook anymore. And not only that, I'm not going to pretend to cook. So I'm not going to go to the grocery store and pretend to buy things that I'm going to pretend to cook. I'm just going to let you know. I buy all fast food, so I'm going to continue to buy fast food. And the only time that we ever eat at home is when you actually grill on the weekend anyway, which I would gladly participate in, and I'll make a salad. But yeah, I don't cook anymore. He goes, so what does this mean? I said, well, you have a car, you have access to our checking account, and you know where all the grocery stores are. So if you want anything in the refrigerator, you're going to have to go get it. And I really did. I did not delegate. I abdicated. I was like, I'm done. I've told you this many times. And you know, I don't even really feel guilty about it. Greg actually said this weekend, which was Father's Day weekend, as of this recording, he said, you know, I've asked all my buddies and pretty much all the guys are doing all the grocery shopping and the cooking now. I'm like, yeah, because it's the easiest thing for us to delegate. And he says, you know, like they all, like, I don't even know a woman who's cooking anymore. I said, and? He goes, just letting you know. I said, okay, great. Good for us. Good. So I did. I totally abdicated it. And I legit have not gone into a grocery store to do grocery shopping, except for the week that we go to the beach. I revert back to the 1990s Lisa, do the grocery shopping. I do the cooking. I do the cleaning. I do everything. And then we come home from the beach and I'm like, yeah, I don't go to grocery stores. If it cannot be clicked and shipped, I don't buy it. I went to the grocery store the other day. I spent a fortune and I came home with nothing. I said, this is why you don't want me going there. I don't even know how to do it anymore. And so that is the beginning 5 years ago, 5, 6 years ago, of how I started to more equitably divide our housework in our home. And I tell you that story because I've read the book Fair Play. I'm about to interview Eve again on the next podcast episode you're going to hear. But in my house, Greg's not reading a book on pretty much anything, and definitely not how he should be taking a bigger role in housework. He was raised by a mom who stayed home, and that is his understanding that women stay home. It's not a derogatory thing. I was a woman who wanted to stay home. He signed up for the right woman. Like, that is what I wanted. But now I wanted my time. 5, 6 years ago, I needed my time in order to make the impact I wanted in Organize 365 because I knew that I was uniquely being called to speak into other women's lives so that they could do what they were uniquely created to do. And if that is to be the ultimate homemaker of your house, then game on. And if not, then keep listening. So I abdicated everything related to doing the cooking, the meal planning, the grocery shopping, everything except the dishes. I don't mind doing dishes. I don't do them that often. Also, we don't eat at home very often, so they don't pile up to the ceiling if I don't do them very often. They do pile up, but not to the ceiling. So Greg would say, what do you want for dinner? And I would say, whatever you're cooking. Well, how about this? Fabulous. How about that? Sounds great. Which one? Either one. And a big part of delegating, or abdicating in my case, housework to someone else in your house is abdicating or delegating the entire task. So before I read Fair Play, because it wasn't even a book, I was already doing this in practice. And that's what Eve says. She says, you know, if you are going to share both the visible and the invisible work, the mental load of meals is, what are we making? Where are we going to get it? When are we going to have it? When does it have to be thrown away? When are we going to prepare it? Like all of that. I just was like, all of it gone. I know that I can go through fast food 3 times a day. I'm willing to pay the kids to go through fast food 3 times a day because I would rather take my money and time and put it in Organize 365. And so that is how we did it. So I personally have found over the last 6 years, almost everything has gotten abdicated or delegated in that fashion. I get to the point where I'm ready to not do something. I run it by Greg. He's like, I guess we're doing this now. And then we do it. So it was shortly after that, I think once Greg was doing the meals for a couple of years, I said, you know, maybe it's time that we start getting the house cleaned again. And Greg, as usual, said, well, you know, that's a lot of money. Do we want to spend money on that? And I said, well, let's try it. So I did it. And then within 2 or 3 weeks, he said, I love this. I love it. I love it when Margie comes. I love the house being cleaned. Yes, it's an expense, but we both love it. And having someone clean my house, our house, is a luxury. And it saves me a bazillion hours a week. I've calculated it's actually a bazillion plus one. There are multiple reasons why having the house cleaned saves so much time. Back then, it was every other week. When Abby said she was pregnant, I said to Margie, how about every week? She's like, great. So she comes every week. Two things. Number one, there's the actual physical cleaning the house, which means you've got to be like, I got to clean the house. I got to clean the house. All the mental of having to clean the house. When are you going to clean the house? When are you going to fit it in? What am I going to wear so I don't get bleach? And blah. All that. It's not just the physical of doing the house. It's all the dreading it before. And then the frustrating immediately after when somebody walks on the freshly vacuumed carpet. Like, seriously, you have to walk there? Why do you have to walk in the house? Can't you live outside? Like, I would get so frustrated once I got the whole house cleaned when somebody would drop something. Now, Grayson splashes or whatever. I'm like, great, you know, whatever. Because there is a regular cadence to having my house cleaned, I know that it will never get so dirty that I can't maintain it. You see what I'm saying? Like when we are cleaning our own houses, somebody will get sick. You won't feel well. You'll have something unexpected come up and then you have to push the cleaning, right? Not if somebody's cleaning your house. Like 9 times out of 10, they come. Like, yeah, sometimes they can't come because they're on vacation or wherever, but you know they're coming the next week at the same time. So it's not going to get out of control. And often I don't even do anything in the times where she doesn't come because I know it's going to happen. And then the second thing that happens when you have somebody consistently cleaning your house is it keeps you on track. Because the night before they come, you have to pick up your messes and you have to put everything back where it belongs. And you have, like, it forces you to tidy your house so that somebody else can clean your house. So having someone clean your house saves you 3 times the amount of time it takes you to physically actually clean your house. It saves you the mental, it holds you accountable, and it does the actual work. So that was probably 3 years ago when we had Margie doing that. Now, when it comes to laundry, I love laundry. I've never minded doing laundry. I'm fairly good at laundry. I don't always get it put away the same day. Laundry has never bothered me. When I abdicated grocery to Greg, that 1 year, I also dedicated our laundry to somebody else doing it. I would drop it off at the dry cleaner. They also do laundry. Who knew? And it cost me like $50 a week, which is not no money, but at the time, well worth it because I was doing all of the kids' laundry at that time. I was doing, I don't know, 5-6 loads of laundry. So not doing 5 or 6 loads of laundry for $50. I did do the towels and jeans at home because it's done by weight. So I was doing 2 loads of laundry, saving 4 loads, gave me a lot more bandwidth to grow my company. After that 1 year of doing laundry that way, Joey went off to college, had to do his own laundry. Abby was at home, started doing her own laundry, and I started doing only Greg's and mine, which is 1, maybe 2 loads a week. Now that Grayson is there, I help a little bit with Grayson's laundry. I do like 1 load of Grayson's laundry a week. And then because Grayson is here, I now have 3 loads of laundry because, hello, the baby spits up all the time. So I have work clothes, and then I have Grayson clothes. And then when he's sick, I change my outfit a bazillion times. So now I'm like a new mom again. So I have a lot of laundry, but I don't mind doing it. So laundry doesn't take me very much time. And now I'm at a point in Organize 365, which 5 years ago, I hired a couple people. But now today, you know, we have 14 employees, full-time employees. So we have a company. I have an office I go to. Like I come in sometimes at 5:30 in the morning. I stay till 5:30 at night. I'm no longer trying to make my work fit into my home life. My home life is now after work hours, which is a completely different venue than I had before. So as far as tasks of daily living, Greg does everything meal related, everything except for dishes. And I do everything laundry related except for dry cleaning. Greg takes the dry cleaning and picks the dry cleaning up because it's mostly his shirts and a couple of mine. And then when we get to household cleaning, I've delegated it all to someone who cleans our house, unless I want to do a little bit extra, and I usually do that on the weekend. Our home maintenance, our lawn care that Greg has always done. This year, we're having someone cut our grass. It's the first time we've had someone cut our grass, which is glorious, by the way, so Greg can spend more time with Grayson. And we finally found a reliable handyman, and he comes about every 6 months, and I just have a nice long list, and he just plows through that list for me. Up until a year ago, I did everything handyman-related around the house, including the painting, nailing things in, screwing things on, all of those things. And then for the mental load, the invisible work that we do, almost everything else for the daily running of the household, I do during my Sunday basket time. Like, that's where I do bill paying, holiday planning, planning our date nights, doing anything vacation related, anything prescriptions, doctors, placing online orders, scheduling car maintenance, doing our budgeting, all of that. I do all of that during the Sunday basket. And anything I used to do errand day related, I just do immediately now on my phone and have it shipped to the house. I'm like, oh, I need this. Ship it, ship it, ship it. That's where I am in my phase of life. Then there's the organizing. So for housework, we've covered the cleaning, maintenance, tasks of daily living. When we talk about organizing, that is still primarily me, but I did it from 2012 to 2016 before I started abdicating these other housework responsibilities. I already was personally organized. Greg has already been always self-personally organized. He just doesn't have very much stuff that requires organization. And then Joey and Abby were high school kids that then became college kids who now are living on their own. So they are responsible for their own personal organization. So as far as organization for each of our individual persons, I am only responsible for myself. So it's improving in my habits and routines each 120 days, which I love to do. Organizing the storage area, I did that in 2012. I did that in 2015. That is my desire to redo that this summer. But that stays pretty well organized. And again, Joey has his own place, so he has his own storage now, and we've cleared a lot of that out. Paper organization, I did in 2017. I created my binders, and then when we got our binders in 2018, I moved them into our binders. My paper organization that I did in 2017 has not needed to be redone since then. Like, every 6 months or so, I will add things into the binders, and 1 year I go through and I make sure everything's up to date, but that takes like an hour or two. Like, I don't spend a lot of time doing paper organization, but the summer of 2017, I mean, I probably spent 150 hours doing it. Like, it took a long time, but it's done. So my storage organization and paper organization have just been maintained. Like, I just need to maintain them, which only leaves family and communal space organization. So family and communal space organization, which is anything that's on the first floor of a two-story house, your kitchen, living room, dining room, family room, den, shared bathrooms. That space, because I have somebody that cleans the house every week, I have to make sure that those spaces are picked up. And if Greg and I were in our empty nesting years, we would be done with family and communal space organization. But because we live with Abby and our grandson, the family and communal space organization has to be changed. I mean, every 3 weeks. It's every 3 weeks. It's constant. It's constant. Where are we keeping the formula? Okay, now where are we keeping the baby food? Okay, now he eats people food. Okay, now he has a different bib. Okay, we went from baby spoons to regular spoons. Okay, he's not a size 3, he's size 4 diaper. Okay, now he needs, you know, an extra saucer. Oh, now we need to put up gates. Okay, now we need, like, it's just constant. So every weekend on Saturday, I'm like, okay, what is my project? And my home project is always something maintenance or organization related for our family and communal spaces. My personal organization is done. Our storage organization is done. Our paper organization is done. I do the Sunday basket for 60 to 90 minutes every weekend. And I also usually do one home family communal space maintenance or organizing project every other week. That's the only housework I have. That and a couple loads of laundry. Because I'm not doing anything meal plan related. I'm just doing the dishes. I'm not doing the cleaning. We have someone doing the maintenance. That's how I worked my way out of a job. And so when I was thinking about, you know, talking to Eve, and I'm going to air that podcast next, I was like, you know, I really have worked my way out of a job. So last summer when I went to go on the book tour, this is before the baby was born, Greg said, we're really going to need you. Everything's going to fall apart when you're gone. I said, it's really not. He's like, no, I'm pretty sure you do stuff around here. I'm like, I really don't. Because while I was gone, the house still got cleaned. Greg still took the trash out and did the lawn. Greg still did the grocery shopping and the cooking. They figured out the dishes. I wasn't there to do the laundry, so Greg did his own laundry. So I guess, you know, he had to do a load of laundry each week, which didn't seem to be a problem. Which, by the way, when I came back, he kept doing his laundry. Like every once in a while, he's like, yeah, I'm just going to do the laundry. I'm like, what? You're going to, what? So awesome. And so I was talking to someone else who was a different author. She was talking about how, you know, we need to have more gender equity at home and men would need to do more like women are doing and all of this stuff. And I was like, Greg and I, it's pretty much evenly divided now. And she said, well, not everyone like knows how to do what you did, Lisa. And I was like, that's true. I mean, that is true. And I have looked in our app, some of you who have read the book Fair Play, you tried to get your spouses to read it. They didn't read it either, did they? No, they did not. But you have also created gender equity at home. And I think it's not that we have to have a family meeting and everybody's going to sit down and be like, all right, this is it. I only do half the work around here, so you guys are going to have to do this other half. Like, it took 5 years. Like, it was 5 years of me getting my personal life organized and then 5 years of me basically working my way out of a job. And now we have four independent humans who know how to meet all of their own housekeeping, organization, and paper organizing needs. And we communally live together and work together and play together. But also we all, everyone in our family knows how to do laundry. Everyone in our family knows how to cook a meal. Everyone in our family knows how to clean. And so this is working for us right now. And I think this is a good example of how you do work your way out of a job if you're like me and you loved being in charge of housework or not. And now you're like, yes, but I also feel like I'm uniquely created and called to do this other thing. And in order to do this other thing, I need to find more time. And how do I find the time? And some of it is you could get it done one and done. You could do the productive home solution and your storage and your paper and your personal organization will stay. Family communal spaces, like just done is good enough. Like, there is no perfect in that category. And then as far as housework, cleaning, if the thing that you're uniquely called to do is going to create an income, and you don't have children, consider having your house cleaned, your childcare bill. I don't know. Because it is. It's like, it's something that's taking your time away that only you could do because you live there. So do. Think of it like your childcare. Yeah, this person's cleaning the house. That's the childcare that is needed for the house. And then home maintenance, do it once or twice a year in big batches. Do it all yourself. Have it hired out. But systematize these things to create more time for yourself, so that you can do what only you can do. The series that we're in right now, where I explore the secret history of home economics, both the book and my own personal family history of women getting a college degree in home economics. And actually, that's what my college degree in as well. I am amazed and frankly astounded at how different home economics was viewed in the 1800s and the early 1900s, how that changed in the 1940s, and how now, again today, in the 2020s, we're starting to go back to that original view of how important it is to have a good foundation at home, that there is an economy that is happening at home, that there is work to be done at home, and that work is valuable and it is important. And I'm so excited that over the last 10 years, Organize 365 has really worked hard at figuring out what is the work that needs to be done? What is housework? What is the definition of organization? How can we eliminate Swiss cheese organization and actually get organized once and for all so we can live an organized life and we could be more productive? Organization is a learnable skill. 87% of those surveyed in Organize 365 surveys agree. Organization is a learnable skill. I have a degree in home economics and education, and I love teaching. I can teach you the skill of home organization, reducing the amount of housework that you do and making the invisible work that is done at home visible. I'd love for you to join us in learning how to Learn the skill of getting organized at home. It starts with the Sunday basket. After you've got your Sunday basket going, go all in with the Productive Home Solution and then take that success into your work with the Friday Workbox. You can find out all of the Organize 365 products that help you learn how to get organized over at organize365.com under the program tab.